الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يحب المتقين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. This year in Ramadan, inshallah, we'll be doing a series. These pre-iftar talks, we'll have a series on certain ayats of the Quran and certain ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the main theme would be to look at those qualities which are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, there's a dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to make, that Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbuk wa hubba man yuhibbuk. That, oh Allah, I ask you that you increase me in my love for you, and increase me in my love for those people who love you, and increase me in my love for those actions which are beloved to you. So inshallah, there are certain ayat of the Quran, there are certain themes, certain characteristics, certain qualities, certain attributes, which are extremely beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Often many of those ayat, they begin with this format, inna allaha yuhibbu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So inshallah, in these series of sessions, we're going to pick one theme, one quality, and try to understand that what is it about this quality that is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that enables a person to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truly, this month of Ramadan is the month that a person should try to grow. All of us, we should try to increase in our muhabbat, in our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this muhabbat, this relationship that we have with Allah, it's a selfless, the love that Allah has for us is selfless. Every person, they love us for their own sake, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for us is for our sake. And when a person they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is unique about this love as opposed to worldly love is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiates this love. In Quran, Allah mentions yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu, that Allah loves them and then they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try to develop this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here a question that comes, that who are those people who are beloved to Allah? Who are those people who are the friends of Allah? And what are their qualities? So in a series of ayat, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines for us what those qualities are. So today, inshallah, we're going to start with one quality which is very central, and that is the quality of taqwa. So at the beginning, I recited this ayat of the Quran, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person who is a person of taqwa. So when a person gets this quality of taqwa, they become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this taqwa is a very important sifat. The Quran begins with this. In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with Alif Lam Mim. That's a way to humble us. And then after that, Zalikal Kitabu La Raiba Fi, Hudal Lil Muttaqin. This book has no doubts or skepticism about it. And this is a guidance. It's a book which has guidance, which is hidayah for the people of taqwa. So this taqwa really is an essential part of deen. It's the part of perfection of our iman. It's the part of manifestation of our iman. And one of the tragedies of our time is that we are people of iman, but we're not people of taqwa. This is like the lost treasure of the believers in this day and age. And the real practical maqsad and objective of our iman should be to adopt a life of taqwa. Now, here then a question comes that what exactly is the definition of taqwa? And the meaning of taqwa is very vast. It touches upon every aspect of our life. Literally, linguistically, taqwa means to refrain, to abstain from something for the sake of Allah. And there is an element that what should be a person's motivation? Why should a person abstain from those things which are impermissible? And that motivation basically is three things. One, there is a fear of Allah. In one sense, a person has this fear, and this fear which derives from the majesty and the might of Allah, the shan, the azmat of Allah, and from that, this quality that derives a person, it leads a person to obedience. And secondly, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person, out of their love for Allah, they abstain from those things which are displeasing to Allah. And thirdly, to be so consciously aware of Allah that because of that awareness and consciousness, a person then abstains and refrains from the disobedience of Allah. So, in one sense, taqwa is that quality that out of a person's fear of Allah, to fear Allah the way he deserves to be feared, to love Allah the way he deserves to be loved, and to be aware and conscious of Allah and motivated by these states, then a person abstains and refrains from disobedience of Allah, anything that is displeasing and distasteful to Allah, that is called taqwa. It's the power to it's the power, the strength, the willpower, the determination to stay clear from those things which are displeasing. Once Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he asked Hazrat Qab radiallahu ta'ala an, that this word taqwa, what does it mean? And what do you say about this word taqwa? And he replied that, have you ever walked through a forest where there are bushes and they have thorns? So how do you walk? And he said, I walk in such a way that I'm very careful lest my garment gets entangled in those thorns. So he explained, then he said that to spend our life in such a way that a person is not entangled in the thorns of any sin, that is called taqwa. In other words, it's staying away from sins. It's staying clear of sins, staying clear from anything that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of our scholars, they explain this, and they say that taqwa is basically to be on the safe side, to act upon the Sharia very carefully in such a way that a person remains on the safe side. So, for example, when a person has to catch a flight at the airport, so just to be on the safe side, we reach about 1 hour before, 1 hour before than we're supposed to be. And if someone asks us that, why did you reach before? We say that just to be on the safe side. Or to give another example, that when we have a gathering, we invite guests over to our place, we prepare food for them. Let's say we invited 20 guests, but when we prepare the food, we prepare for 30 people. And if someone asks us why extra 10, we say just to be on the safe side. So this philosophy to be on the safe side that we use in the dunya, when we apply that in terms of deen, that is what taqwa is. It's trying to nip the evil in the bud. We're trying to erect barriers. Just like in the world, we erect barriers because we don't want to go near a live wire, a 1,000 kilovolt live wire. So we erect barriers, fences, garden. In the same way, a person also stays clear, stays away from this the sin, which is a spiritual harm. And that way of leading a person's life is called taqwa. And what is interesting about taqwa is that this is something which is supposed to be embedded in our heart. It's inseparable. It's not just taqwa in one aspect, but in every aspect of our life, whether it pertains to our worship, whether it pertains to our dealings with others, whether it pertains to our relationships with other people in our society, whether it pertains to our inner self, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our feelings. Taqwa is part of every aspect of our life. And interestingly, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Allah ta'ala makes this wasiyat that you should, that people before you, they were also tasked with this nimat of this responsibility of taqwa. And you also, وإياكم, that you will also be tasked with that same responsibility, that ittaqullah, have taqwa. Normally, wasiyat is something which is the last message of a person's life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also using this word, وَلَقَدْ وَسَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, that Allah gives wasiyat that a person should have taqwa. And it's not just required for a select group, but it's required for every believer. Every believer. And the reason why we say it's required for every believer is because the very ayat of Ramadan, the very ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribes fasting for all of us, that ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have prescribed fasting for all of you. And at the end, why? لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can attain taqwa. So in other words, the purpose of fasting is taqwa. And fasting is for everyone, means taqwa is then for everyone. It's a race, and all of us, we are in this together. The rich, the poor, the educated, the illiterate, the leader, the follower, the writer, the reader, the preacher, the listener, the ruler, the ruled, young, old, men, women. All of us, we must develop taqwa. It's a race. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has let open that whoever wants to get, there's no upper limit. Allah says that get taqwa haqqa tuqati, as is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, no one can say that I have enough taqwa, that I fulfilled the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any, the upper limit has been left majhul. A person can try to get as much as possible, as much as possible, as much as possible, depending on their own istita'a, their own ability. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the principle that when you are running this race of taqwa, you're competing with each other, trying to get more and more levels of taqwa, then know also that inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that the most honored in the eyes of Allah, the most honored, the one who has the greatest izzat, or in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that person attaqakum, who has the greatest level of taqwa. Any honor and dignity and respect, it comes with taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked this dignity and respect with this attribute of taqwa. And then, like we said in Quran, Allah mentions that those who have taqwa, they also become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah loves those people who are the people of taqwa. Yani muttaqi person is so, Allah loves that person. Yani people love each other for different reasons. You might love someone because they're beautiful. You might love someone else because they're intelligent. You might love someone because of their religion, their faith, their iman. Taqwa is that attribute because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a believer. That person becomes beloved in the sight of Allah. Allah has love for that. Allah has feelings for such a person. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muttaqin. And when you make someone your beloved, when Allah makes this person his beloved or his beloved, then because of that love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves that person from any harm and hurt. That's what a beloved does. When you love someone when you're in a relationship of love, then the person for whom you have love, you try to save that person from any hurt, from any harm. And secondly, you try to give them everything which pleases them. When there is muhabbat, right, then you try to give them whatever they like, whatever they please, whatever makes them pleased and happy. And whenever there is muhabbat, then Allah also places sukoon and itminan in their life. So as a result of this muhabbat, Allah loving them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them from hurt and harm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them what pleases their hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses their heart, puts this itminan, this blessing of solace and tranquility in their heart, so much so that their life becomes like a small sample of Jannat. And in this dunyavi life becomes a small sample of Jannat. So in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has labeled that this month of Ramadan is the month of taqwa. And we should try then that we develop ourselves in the sifat, truly One might ask that, okay, taqwa is supposed to be the purpose of our entire life. It's the purpose of our entire deen. What's the khas relationship of taqwa in Ramadan? And that is very simple. That Ramadan is an exercise, it gives us a wake-up call. Because taqwa means that you abstain from the impermissible. And Allah says to us in Ramadan that, oh my human beings, you have failed in this task of taqwa throughout the year. But the failure was not the issue. The failure was not the problem. It was the delusion with which you tried to rationalize that failure. That was the problem. And what was that delusion? We fooled ourselves into thinking that I'm not capable of this taqwa. I can't do it. We convinced ourselves, we excused ourselves that I'm not capable of leaving something for the sake of Allah. It's too difficult for me. My own desires, they don't desire that. We try to rationalize. We just try to give excuses that what can I do? I can't do this. So Allah sends us this month to make us learn that no, you are capable. You are capable of taqwa. Because taqwa means that you will leave the impermissible for the sake of Allah. And in this month, Allah is saying that I'm going to make you leave those things which I've made permissible for you, halal for you, jais for you, food and drink. So if you can leave food and drink for the sake of Allah, don't we think that we can leave that which is forbidden for the sake of Allah? So that's why this is a month which is a wake-up call. And it's a lesson that we are giving up this food for the sake of Allah. It's costing us, right? We're feeling that sacrifice, but I can do it. I can actually feel pain for the sake of Allah. I can feel a want for the sake of Allah. And that's what Ramadan is all about. It's a very simple mental exercise that a person reminds themselves that this is attainable and I can attain this taqwa in this month. And Allah has put that power in this month. Allah has put this so much power in this month of Ramadan that through the barakah of this month, Allah makes it possible for a person to attain taqwa. And that really should be our conscious intention as we fast in Ramadan. Like every day when we are fasting, we should make a conscious intention, not just some rati ratai memorized dua that we know of, but we should try to feel, make that intention dua from the core of our hearts that, oh Allah, I intend to forego the lawful, permissible food and drink and those who are marital relations in this day, for today, for your sake, in the hope that you have said in Quran that you have hope. La'allakum. Yani, la'alla means hope. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hopeful that we can attain taqwa. So we have to derive hope from the fact that Allah, you are hopeful in me. I'm doing this with this hope that you will make me a person of taqwa. I'm doing this exercise with this hope that Allah, you will allow me to leave each and everything which you know, which is incurring your displeasure. That you will allow me to change everything that is not maybe 100% exactly according to what your likes are. And that's the niyat we should present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day when we fast. When we fast in the morning, we make that niyat of taqwa. We make that niyat. That niyat which Allah's, the niyat that Allah has for us. And Allah's niyat, Allah's intention for us is that we should become people of taqwa. So we make the intention of what Allah's intention is for us. And that's how we link it together. That Allah, I'm weak, but I don't look at my own amal. I don't look at my own self. I'm not even looking at my own intention. I'm looking at the intention that you have for me. And I'm deriving hope from your intention that you hope, Ya Allah, that I can become a person of taqwa. And Allah, that gives me solace and hope that I can actually become this person of taqwa. Because to be honest, Ramadan is, there is no greater source of barakah than this month, the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showering his intense mercy upon us. But the number one thing we need to do in this month of Ramadan is that we need to avoid sin. And that's really what taqwa is. How practically, how does this apply? Practically applying taqwa in our life means that every day we should then try to avoid a sin. Taqwa of our eyes. So we avoid, we guard, we control our gaze in such a way that we don't use this to incur the displeasure of Allah. We guard our tongues, we guard our limbs, we guard our thoughts even, we guard our ears. We avoid sin because this is the number one thing we need to do this Ramadan, because otherwise Allah's rahmat is coming. Allah's, there is a built-in mechanism in this month that Allah is sending His mercy, His barakat, His anwarat, His tajalliyat, and graces, blessings. All of those things are coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of those things will be purifying our sins and will be driving us closer in our journey towards Allah. So all of us are drawing close to Allah, but the one thing which can become an obstacle is when we commit sin. And that's the opposite of taqwa. That's lack, the absence of taqwa. So what sins does is that they end up taking us exactly where we were before. They anchor us down. Like a person, we do some sin, then we fast. Now fasting gives us taqwa, right? But then again we do some sin, and again after that we fast, and then again we do some sin, again we do some sin. So it's like a cycle. We keep sort of moving one step ahead and then one step back, one step forward, one step back, one step forward, one step back. We don't go anywhere. And then many times young people just start questioning the deen as well, that why am I not changing? Why am I not benefiting? I'm trying, but I'm still not able to move ahead in my deen. And the answer is that yes, you're doing all these great things. You're fasting and you're praying Taraweeh and you're reciting the Quran and you're making dua. You're doing these incredible, amazing, great things about deen, but we are not leaving, we're not plugging the drain. We are not leaving those sins. Those sins were anchoring us down. They're just whatever nur we are getting in our hearts, it's just being taken out because of the sins that we continue to persist in. So it's very important that in this month, in these, we sit down and we analyze our life. That what are the things that we are doing which are contrary to taqwa? What are the things, the bad habits that we have, the sins that we're engaged in, the way that we might be displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to be careful. Fasting is not just leaving food and drink. Fasting is also fasting of the eyes, that we protect, control our gaze. It's about fasting of the tongue, that we don't backbite others, we don't slander others, hurt others, we don't end up picking an argument or fighting with someone else, right? We need to be careful about these things. We shouldn't think ill of other people, not have any degrading thoughts about others, not having any malice or enmity or spite or hatred for others in our heart. And he dispelling all such bad or sinful thoughts, and just trying to keep our limbs protected, our mind protected, our heart protected. That really is the maqsad of fasting. Leaving food and drink is just one level. The essence, the reality of fast is to leave a sin, leave the sin of the eyes, leave the sin of the tongue. That's when a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be some people who will fast, but they will not get anything from their fast except hunger and thirst. And they will not get anything from their qiyam or Ramadan, Taraweeh, except becoming tired. And Allah doesn't need our staying away from food and drink. What Allah really wants is this taqwa al-qulub, this taqwa in our hearts, this piety in our hearts, this ability that we leave those sins. And Ramadan and this fasting, all of these things, these are just a training mechanism. Fasting is a means to leave sin. It's not the purpose. The purpose of Ramadan is taqwa. Fasting is just you can think about it like a side effect. The real goal is that a person builds themselves up so much that we're able to develop the ability to leave sin. And then a side effect would be that a person also has hunger, they feel hunger, thirst, and it's a means to attain that sin. It's not the goal in itself, it's not the end in itself. And if we can do that, if we can sit down and begin to analyze our lives and begin to leave those things which might be incurring Allah's displeasure, then that's the way to succeed this Ramadan. That's the way to use this Ramadan as a way to get taqwa. And the barakah of this month is we can get taqwa. And if we can get this, then this month has so much power that Allah can make this quality available for us even once this month ends. That's what Ramadan is. It's a month to sharpen. It comes from the root tarmiz, to sharpen, like you're sharpening a knife because you want to use it. So it's a month where Allah wants to sharpen our taqwa, where the believer can sharpen their skills, their iman, their taqwa. It's like you're presenting an empty tank to Allah, and Allah is willing to put all the fuel inside that tank. So we are trying to build our taqwa in this month, not for this month to end and we go back, right? But we are thinking that we want to build this taqwa so that we can use this taqwa once the Ramadan ends. And we should then try to analyze, like we said, analyze our life and look at the sins that we are engaged in, try to leave them one by one. Sometimes it happens that shaitan redefines sins for us. We live in a time where we end up redefining what those sins are. So sins is not what we think is bad or what society thinks is bad, but a sin is what Allah thinks is bad, something which displeases Allah. That is where the negative effect comes from, and what Allah says is bad. So we learn and we then try to avoid this with full force. That's what we have to do. We're getting the nur from Allah, we're getting the mercy. We just have to play defensive in this month of Ramadan. That really should be our motto, our approach, our attitude. I just have to be defensive. I'll give you an example. I'll just end with this, inshallah. So imagine that there's a person who has a bag of gold, and that person goes to the bank or goes for shopping, and then he parks his car. He's so careful. He's so careful in the way he parks his car in the middle because he doesn't, maybe people around him don't even know that he's carrying a bag of gold. But every step that he is taking, he's looking at the rear view mirror lest anyone is following him. He's so careful because he knows the worth of that gold. In the same way, in this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us gold. When you fast, Allah puts gold inside your heart. When you pray Taraweeh, Allah puts gold inside your heart. When you come to the masjid, Allah puts gold inside your heart. When you recite Quran, when you make dua, every ibadah that we are doing, these are built into Ramadan. These are magnets which are putting gold in our heart. But what we have to do is that when we're getting this gold, now shaitan and nafs, they will try to rip us of this treasure. They'll try to rip us of this treasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving all of us a treasure in this month. And we should not squander this treasure by letting nafs and shaitan rip this over. We have to be defensive. And being defensive is what taqwa is, to be on the safe side, to have a defensive approach in our deen, not take risks, just play risk-free this Ramadan. If we are defensive, then this treasure in our heart will begin to increase. It will keep on increasing, keep on increasing, keep on increasing. And inshallah, through the sifat of taqwa, we can also then get the muhabbat of Allah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to act on this teaching. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorn us with the sifat of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a month of taqwa for all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now enable all of us that we can put our names in the category of those people who are the muttaqeen. And through that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draw us close to Him and grant us His truest love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include our names among those whom He loves. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Shut up, we're going to end with a short dua in Urdu. Subhani rabbil al-wahhab. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, hum aapke aajiz miskeen se bandhe hain, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Allah, hamari khataon ko dar guzar farma, hamare aibon ki parda poshi farma. या रब करीम, जो गुनाह याद है उन्हें माफ़ फरमा। अल्लाह जो गुनाह करके भूल गए अल्लाह उनको भी माफ़ फरमा। या रब करीम या अल्लाह हमें भी इस तकवा की नेमत अता फरमा। अल्लाह अपने मुत्तकीन बंदों में शामिल फरमा। या अल्लाह, अल्लाहुम्मा आती नफ्सी तकवाहा व ज़क्कीहा अंत खैरु मन ज़क्काहा अंत वलीयुहा व मौलाहा। या अल्लाह या रब करीम हम पर अपनी रहमत नाजल फरमा। या अल्लाह हमारा आपके सिवा और कोई रब नहीं। या अल्लाह हम मदद मांगते हैं तो आप ही से मांगते हैं। या रब करीम या अल्लाह अपनी मदद शामिल हाल फरमा। अल्लाह हम पर अपना एहसान फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी रहमत हम पे नाजिल फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम या अल्लाह आपको हमसे उम्मीद है कि हमें तकवा की नेमत इस रमदान मिल जाएगी। या रब करीम या अल्लाह हमें आपकी उम्मीद से उम्मीद है। या अल्लाह हमें मुत्तकी बंदों में शामिल फरमा दीजिए। या अल्लाह हम इकरार करते हैं कि हमारे अंदर तकवा तो नहीं, लेकिन या अल्लाह इस सिफत की तमन्ना और आरजू ज़रूर है। या रब करीम या अल्लाह हमें भी अपने मुत्तकीन बंदों में शामिल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह अपने मुत्तकीन बंदों की मोहब्बत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह गुनाहों से पीछा छुड़ा दीजिए। अल्लाह हम खुद गुनाह नहीं करना चाहते, अल्लाह नफ्स और शैतान की वजह से हम गुनाह कर बैठते हैं। या अल्लाह हम आपको पुकारते हैं, अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से या अल्लाह हमारे गुनाहों से हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह गुनाहों की वजह से जो दूरी आ गई है अल्लाह उस दूरी को ख़त्म फरमा। अल्लाह हमें अपनी मोहब्बत अता फरमा, हमें अपना कुर्ब अता फरमा। अल्लाह हमें गुनाहों की ज़िल्लत से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा, गुनाहों के मौक़ों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह हमारी आँखों की हिफाजत फरमा, अल्लाह हमारी आँखों की हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह हमारी ज़बानों की हिफाजत फरमा, अल्लाह हमारे दिल और दिमाग की हिफाजत फरमा। या रब करीम या अल्लाह, अल्लाह अल्लाह गुनाहों की वजह से जो दूरी आई है उसको ख़त्म फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपना कुर्ब अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपनी मोहब्बत, अपनी महबूबियत, अपनी मारफत अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम अपने इश्क की आतिश हमारे सीनों में पैदा फरमा दीजिए। हमारे अंग अंग से अपनी मोहब्बत को जारी फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमारे रुए रुए से अपनी मोहब्बत को जारी फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम या अल्लाह हम आपका बनना चाहते हैं, आपका बनकर जीना चाहते हैं। अल्लाह हमें अपना बना दीजिए। हाँ अल्लाह हमें अपना सच्चा बना दीजिए, अपने सच्चे बंदों में शामिल फरमा लीजिए। हमें इखलास वाली नेमत अता फरमा दीजिए। हमें अपने मुखलिस बंदों में शामिल फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह आपसे बहुत सारे लोग हैं अल्लाह जो आपसे दुनिया की नेमतें मांगते हैं। या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह हम आपसे दुनिया की नेमत भी मांगते हैं और या अल्लाह हम आपसे आपको भी मांगते हैं। अल्लाह हमें अपना ताल्लुक अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपना ताल्लुक अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपनी मोहब्बतों वाला ताल्लुक अता फरमा दीजिए। अपनी दोस्ती वाला ताल्लुक अता फरमा दीजिए। अपनी मोहब्बत और महबूबियत वाला ताल्लुक अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपनी रज़ा अता फरमा दीजिए। अपनी मुलाकात का शौक़ अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम अपने करीम चेहरे के दीदार की लज्जत अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम या अल्लाह अल्लाह हमें भी अपनी मुलाकात का शौक़ अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम अपनी मारफत अता फरमा, हमें अपना कुर्ब अता फरमा। या रब करीम या अल्लाह हमारी इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमतों से कबूल फरमा। अल्लाह जो मांगा है वो भी अता फरमा। अल्लाह जो मांगना चाहिए था नहीं मांग सके अल्लाह अपनी रहमतों से वो भी नसीब फरमा। रब्बना तकब्बल मिन्ना इन्नक अंतस समीउल अलीम व तुब अलैना इन्नक अंतत तव्वाबुर रहीम व सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला हबीबिही خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.